listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kourula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is your host with the most, Nikki Kourula. We're going to jump right into this interview. We have some special guests, a powerful twosome. They happen to also be sisters, Miss Samantha Franks and Malia Franks, known as the Frank Sisters. Hello, Frank Sisters.
Hello. How are you?
Oh, you even speak in harmony. I love it.
We get that a lot. Like, why are you talking in stereo, you know?
So I have to ask you, I never asked you this when we were in class together, but you guys must be so in sync, but when you guys have fights, you probably have some serious fights. Because my brother and I used to have fights and we're 4 years apart. You guys are 2 years apart, correct?
Yeah, like two and a half.
So give me the sibling rivalry. There's got to be some kind of like, there's got to be some beef that happens when it happens. I just got to know.
Before we did our show.
100%. Yeah, it was funny because I think right before we did the show for the class,
last
we were in a huge
fight. We fought all the way from Ventura to like the hour and a half drive with traffic. We fought that entire time.
Well, that's a great release. That's a great release.
We were both very in our feelings when we were performing, so it was really good. But of course, like, you know, we've grown up together. We're probably the closest people to each other. It's really tough to fight when you know everything about the person.
Oh, yeah.
You know exactly where it hurts. If you want to break that person down,
you can.
So,
yeah. What's funny and cool about that is, like, I kind of feel like that's a big sign of love. Like, when you can love someone, you can hurt them, and then you can forgive them. It's like that cycle is, I think, the most human thing when people talk about, like, that not being a part of it. I think that's not real love sometimes, you know. So I see your connection, and I had to ask because my brother and I, we used to fight like crazy, and now we're chums. But when we do fight, we go deep, you know, so I get it. But,
sure. But I will say, if I had to pick one person in the world to, like, explain how I work as a person and, like, my personality to someone else, it would be you.
Me too.
Like,
for sure. Aw,
see? And that's beautiful.
We kind of have grown out of, like, a phase where we constantly fight, too. Like, we both matured and, like,
we're a little more friendly now.
Yeah. I feel like in our adolescence, we fought a little bit more, but we don't fight that often. Yeah.
You were catty in your adolescence, but now you're mature artists. That's the way it is. That's good. So tell me, like, when did you start singing together? What was that moment of zen like for you both, knowing that you could sing harmonies together and work together? Because working with somebody, I mean, it's like a marriage. It's like your family. So the fact that you're already family, that's a whole nother dimension. Tell me what that's like working together.
We can't escape each other. We started singing together really early. I think part of the reason that we harmonize so well is because I started really young trying to get noticed while, like, we were singing in unison, and I just felt like that wasn't enough. I needed to be different. So I don't know how old I was. I don't remember.
We were very young. Like, I remember, I mean, it's hard to even remember, but I've seen videos and
videos
stuff
of
us,
like, three
when we were
and
younger.
Five, and I'm singing harmony.
Her harmonizing when she was, like, two, three years old. But
that's
amazing.
Really?
Yeah, there are videos. We should find some of
those. There's tons of videos of us singing, like, making up songs on the spot, just, like, you know, singing our hearts out when we were, like, little babies.
Very, very young.
And, yeah, it was all, because we grew up in a very musical household. Our mom teaches music together, which is kind of like a mommy and me,
music class
for me.
Awesome. Oh, my God. Your mom has such good vibes. I gave her a big hug. I'm like, your daughters are just amazing. They're just amazing. And she was like, thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, she's
very, very sweet woman.
And then we have some, like, people on our dad's side who are in music as well. Our grandpa, and our dad was in a band.
Grandpa's Michael Franks. He's a, you know, well-versed jazz musician. And our dad was in a band when we were younger. So we were constantly around, like, studios and stuff like that. It was very, like, a familiar thing growing up in that scene. It always felt like nostalgic. So yeah.
Well, you know, I don't ever tell my students this because it's like I never do it in class. But it's like as soon as I heard you guys play, I was like, oh, they're already ready. They're like, you know, and I don't say those words like all the time, but you guys started playing the song and I was like, oh, they're just like showing off at this point. They just they know they're good. They know they're ready. Like, but I like seeing that because like part of that flex is like what it is to be an artist. It's like knowing, okay, I can bring it if we need to bring it. And you guys do it together. And it was just like your harmonies were locked. You were singing dynamically. And I was like, oh, I'm going to work on details with them. Like sometimes you have to work on like overview stuff with some students. It was like, no, this was just like polishing little details because it's like, it's already there with you guys, which is why it's like, I'm just like kind of constantly pushing you guys to do concerts and shows and even this interview. So what's it like writing together? Like, do you guys allow one to take the lead? Do you kind of work together on words and lyrics? Tell me what that creative flow is like.
So sometimes, but also we kind of have like a pattern with like
it varies with different songs. Like sometimes I'll come into her room, right, and I'll be like, hey, let's write a song about this, and we have a concept and we write it from scratch. Sometimes
you come,
I'll bring a chorus in, like a chorus, or you'll come in with like a verse and be like, hey, can we workshop this, can we make it better. A lot of the time when I feel like I have something in a song, I like to bring it to her, because one, just having anyone to collaborate with always gives you a different perspective, and you know, like there's different things that other people can bring to the table.
And me too, like if I ever like something, if I have a certain like concept or just like a little bit of like a part of a chorus that just like rhymes well, or I like what it's kind of, the message that I want to convey, I just kind of
the way I write personally is very much from, I only ever really write from experiences. So what helps with you is that you can kind of like, you can bring me out of like, just like what's going to make this song the best, and not just like what's going to like tell my own personal story. Although that's great. Like sometimes you just want the best song, the best lyrics. Like
I read a lot of books. So I write from things that I want to experience, from things that characters I like experience. I more do it as like a version of storytelling and kind of like a,
vicariously
through something else.
Let's talk about that for a second. So like, what do you read that gives you that kind of inspiration? Are you reading like classics? Are you reading stories, romance novels? Like, tell me what you're reading that inspires you to tell these stories.
A little bit of everything. I love the classics. I have a tattoo of like a Little Women quote on my back.
That's awesome.
What?
That's awesome. I didn't know that. What's the quote?
Let us be elegant or die. So, And then I read a lot of romances, which I think kind of has the biggest influence and impact on our music, because we write a lot of love songs. I feel like that's the biggest influence that we have in our music, for me at least.
And Samantha, like, what do you draw from? Are you drawing from other songwriters? Are you drawing from lyrics? Are you drawing from poetry? What are the things that inspire you?
I mean, I think I'm most influenced by other music and other artists. I feel like I'm constant in poetry a lot of the time. If something strikes me as like profound, or like something, a line of, you know, a song or poetry, I'm always writing it down constantly. Like if something is like, it really hits me, I always write it down. And that usually comes out in my work, in my writing and stuff like that. I'm always paying attention to other artists and art forms, and just people who, like, you know, the people that interest me the most are the people who like have a very deep sense of, like, I don't know, just emotion.
Self. And it's like self and emotion. Yeah, I totally get it. Yeah.
Because I'm a deep feeling person, and people that express their experience of being a deep feeling person in the world feel comfortable and like real to me here. So yeah.
So you know what's interesting too, it's like you're in this kind of like new market, new phase of making records. And I love that you're posting social media stuff all the time. You're always posting music. You're always working on music together and separately too. Yeah. And it just makes your music connection even stronger. Do you find that one pushes the other at different times to kind of like keep you focused on the music or the songwriting or recording? Like, who is like pushing who at times, or is it like an even kind of like ebb and flow that you guys have in your dynamic together?
Yeah, I think you do a really good job of like kind of pushing me to divide my time between school and extracurriculars and music as well, because I think I have an issue with getting a little bit too locked in one thing. So she definitely encourages me to be able to properly give both attention. And I think I just kind of like come into your room a lot of the time and just like ask you to do it with me when like, and this was a lot more before, because I recently started like playing piano, so I've been a little bit more able to do things by myself, but like whenever I wanted to sing, I used to always have to just like go to her room and like kind of like set her guitar in her lap and kind of make her sit and do music with me.
You're like, I need you, sing for me now.
it's very equal though, because although music is constantly within like my stream of thought, like I'm always thinking about, oh, what's the next thing that I have to do to push this forward, a lot of the time it gets strayed from the actual essence of the music itself, and I start to hyperfixate on like, oh, I need to do this marketing thing, and how are we gonna like present our image and branding and like all this stuff that is kind of like very far, you know, like detached from the music itself. And then I'll come in and you'll be like, let's just play. Let's not record it. Let's not post anything about it. Let's just play. And like, you know, and that is something that I really need to remember, because that's the core of like what I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
And it's easy to forget that in this crazy whirlwind of like social media and like success and I don't know,
the marketplace,
this culture that we live in. So,
you know, there's always a part of me that always wants like a documentarian or a videographer or something like documenting everything. But the best stuff happens when none of that stuff is on. It's so weird how it works like that. So I get that both sides. There's that marketing side where you're like, I need footage. I need always the posts. So it's like there's a relevancy to what you're doing. But it's also, Malia, you're very tapped in to even just like understand, like, let's not tap into the technology. Let's tap into each other and also just make music just to make music.
It's a really huge part of our dynamic, though, as being like artists that are trying to be up and coming. Mm-hmm. Like you are constantly trying to do like the social media aspect and stuff, and I'm constantly trying to be like, let's kind of like
figure out what we got. It's funny, we were at this like
strip it down.
We were at this studio the other day with some musician friends of ours, and they were these like really great seasoned musicians. We met them through, I think, a friend of yours, who went to my last show. The other Nikhil.
He's working with you, Nikhil Suresh.
Yeah.
The other Nikhil.
Yeah. So we had these like, you know, this great drummer, bassist, guitarist, and some other guys that were all performing. And I somehow got caught in this section where like I didn't have access to my phone and I couldn't move because I was like behind them. And I really wanted to record them. Right. And I was like mouthing at Malia, I was like, record it, like, you know, like, because I didn't want to miss the moment. But it kind of forced me to like really be present.
Yeah.
And I was like totally like ascending. Like it was just like the best feeling once I got over like, okay, I don't need to, not everything has to be documented, you know, although it's nice to document things, but
It's kind of like you either want nobody to even like understand how beautiful the moment is.
Yeah.
Or you're like, somebody needs to see this. And it's like this like really fine line between both. And I love that you recognize both, because it's the same way with recording. I find this with recording. It's like, I'll just do something and I'll be like, did you record that? And engineer sometimes is like, no, I wasn't recording. And it's like, yo, why do I do the best stuff when nobody's pushing record?
Yeah, for sure.
It's a natural, like, I guess it's like an instinct or whatever it is. So I love that you also feel that. You know, I saw I thought of both of you when I saw Larkin Poe. Do you guys know Larkin Poe?
Yeah.
So I saw them and I was like, dude, this is Samantha and Malia, like, but they're like the folky, like R&B version of this, you know, like two sisters playing together, harmonizing, singing together. And they just shredded. I mean, it was just like, oh my God, this is so awesome. Mm-hmm. Do you find that like being sisters in the music industry gives you like a leg up a little bit, because like you are completely in sync with each other and like, you know, that you can, like living together on the road, you already know you live together now. So you know you can do this. But it's a very different thing when you don't know the person. So do you kind of find that like the life is presenting itself to you with an opportunity that you know you can work out together? Do you feel like that'll work?
For sure. I think there's a big advantage because, you know, I already think of you as your like separate entity of like a person that has her own skill set. And, you know, like she has strengths that I don't have, or like things that she's better at and things that like, you know, she's really and talented. Yeah. So it's nice to be able to work with someone who just gets you and like you already know what your strengths and weaknesses are and like how to, you know, work well together.
I think it's a really good formula for when we want
to
like,
and there's freedom with like honesty. A lot of the time when you're working with other people, you kind of have to
beat around the bush,
walk on eggshells a little
bit. So
things. And
I need to step around this ego situation, but you're like, you're my sister, I'm gonna tell you.
There's no time wasted. It's like your idea is bad, you know. It's like, you know,
I don't like that.
We can be very honest.
This question is for both of you individually. Okay. What was the moment of Zen or the song that you heard that made you fall in love with music or wanting to be a singer and a songwriter? Good question. See, I stumped you. Yeah.
It's hard, especially when we've done it all our lives, because I feel like I can think of so many moments, but I also know that I wasn't, you know, planning on making it like a really like a career move for like a very like large portion of my life.
Yeah.
I have the song that we wrote together that felt like, wow, this is something special and something
that's cool. Tell me about that. Tell me about that song.
Yeah. So, you know, I think I was like 16 and you were 13, and it was a year where I really just like was not doing much besides writing songs. And like, that was the first year I was really like trying to write and doing things like that. And I remember looking up one of Papa Frank's songs, Our Grandpa.
I know what this is.
And I looked up the chords to one of his songs and I really liked them. They were these like jazzy chords. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to take these chords and like work with it and see what I can come up with. And we wrote a song to it called Call It Off. And that was the one we played, I believe. Just one of the lyrics really hit me. Like the chorus has the lyrics like heaven in rotation. And like, there's a lot of really beautiful lyrics and things that just came out of me as a 16-year-old that I was really shocked by. I was like, even to this day, I feel like it's one of those songs that I don't look at it 5 years later and feel like it's amateur or feel like it's not, you know, I still see it as kind of like a timeless, like something was speaking through me and we made something that was kind of like timeless, and it felt a lot bigger than just like me and my experience. It felt more universal and stuff like that.
What about you, Malia?
I've always loved music and I've always loved singing with my sister, but I think mine was a little bit more recent. It was like during one of like our songwriting classes, and Rob, he had said something to you about like letting me have like a little bit more like ability to sing in like different areas other than harmonizing with her. And he said, what did he say? He said something about like seeing me as like an independent artist and like an actual kind of like real addition to our music that made me like feel so seen and so heard. And I really like appreciated that. And made me realize that like I like doing this for myself. And I like enjoy the pieces that I bring to music, and then
like seeing yourself as a separate artist away from like this, because I've always seen myself as like, you know, we have something great together, but I also consider myself an artist outside of like the duo or outside.
Right.
I feel like,
well, what's really cool, what's really interesting too, is you both individually are artists and then you have this project together.
Yeah.
So you really have three markets, which is like way beyond what most people can do and figure out just with a music career. So it's like you have to kind of like have them in balance and know when all three can kind of align and work together. But so far it's working and you guys are working on music. Tell me what this experience right now is like. Like recording new music, releasing new music in this new market. Tell me what that's like for you guys.
Yeah, so we've been trying to like network a little bit.
It's been great. This past year, I will say we've met a lot of cool people and had some real like good opportunities with like musicians that like we really admire. So that has been super cool to kind of like feel our way in the industry and like work with people that really inspire us and like we really feel are like amazing musicians. So that has been awesome. It's been a real like vote of confidence too, like feeling like we're worthy enough to like
be working with people who are so good.
Releasing music, we released a single already. I'm gonna release a single of my own within in April, and then we have a new song coming out with a different producer. So we've been working with new producers as well, and kind of like speed dating producers to see really like bring the song.
What do you do for this song? Yeah, I get it.
And that has been interesting because hard. It's really like a hit or miss with producers, yeah. And it's been tough to find the right one. And sometimes you take it to multiple producers and stuff like that. But I think that we're starting to really figure out how to like navigate it and how to articulate what we want and find the right people. So that has been really cool. Yeah.
Well, one of the cool reasons, like, I love doing this show. It's like, you know, like 3 weeks ago, we had an Oscar winner that was on the show. But I love putting artists like that next to an artist that's starting out, because it's so important to like know that this journey is all the same. It's like you're just at different stages. And like when I hear an artist like you, both of yourselves, talk about music, it's like it takes you back to that place when I started, like that original love and like that newness of it. And that's one of the things I love kind of hearing about, because you're in it right now. Like, you don't even know how much you're in it until you're 10 years past it. And then you look back and you're like, man, we were doing a lot, like, right away, right out of the gun, and just kind of, like, making music and recording music and releasing music. So tell me, like, does it ever get a little overwhelming, or do you ever feel like what you're taking on is a little bit daunting? Because I know I felt like that in the beginning. Like, it was like, oh my God, what am I thinking about doing this? Because it was like a huge wave. It's like, oh my God, am I about to ride this wave? And you are, and you will. But tell me what that experience is like, because I love hearing about that, what that feels like again, you know?
For sure. I mean, it's wildly daunting to take
most of it's exciting, but it's most just of it's exciting, it's but hard.
With the music industry, you know, there's not really a sense of direction. There's not the same sense of direction that you get with other careers where you're like, okay, gonna go to school for this, I'm gonna start training this. Like, it's not that way with music.
And you have to be worried about so much. You have to be worried about like the product that you're putting out. You have to be worried if people like it. You have to be worried about labels. You have to be worried about the people that are handling your music. There's just so many issues that like you have to do by yourselves, and you're afraid of getting help because you don't know if the help is gonna exploit you. Like,
if you're independent, like, for sure, everything you do is like self-driven. So like, you have to really kind of hold yourself accountable with like schedules and making sure that you're like planning studio sessions and like getting out there and like going to shows or playing shows and
stuff
like that.
It's not like the most orthodox career, so you have to do like so much of your work.
It's tough, and as someone who like struggles with like mental health and stuff like that, it's definitely challenging at times. But also, it's
being
like,
women in a male dominated industry, it's like a lot of things being like worked against you.
But you know what's amazing? It's like, and I've told you this, it's like Sarah Bareilles is a friend of mine. And like, I remember when she was 21, 22, about your age, and she was just ready. And you both are at that stage. I mean, there's a level of like professionalism that you both already have that most people don't get to even in their 30s. And you're ready for this. And let's start by playing. What do you want to play us first? What are we going to play and release to the world first?
Let's do Are You Done? Yeah.
Are You Done?
Are You Done?
Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to talk a little bit about this song after we listen to it. This is Are You Done by the Frank Sisters.
Giving up. all the magic.
So good. My goodness. I didn't even want that to end. I was just sitting there like, oh man, it's ending. Like, you know what I love is like when I hear a song and it like makes me create a movie in my mind. Like it just makes me daydream. Those are my favorite songs. That's a driving song. That's a daydream song. Tell me a little bit about the inspiration behind the songwriting part of it. And then tell me about the recording, what that process was like for you both.
So we wrote that one in 2019. So I would have been 14 and 17. Yeah. So we wrote that one a really long time ago, and then we never did anything with it, even at the studio. And we were going to the studio at that time. And I remember I was going through a breakup, and I kept singing that song, and I was like, Samantha, we should do this one.
Yeah,
that was a really big reason why I pushed that song.
At the time,
no, we need to do this.
Yeah, like, oh God, like, sometimes
I send a message.
Sometimes I listen to the songs we wrote and like the songs that I wrote when I was like 16, 17. I was like,
yeah,
like, I feel bad. Like, so I was like singing about this like heart. I don't think I even had a boyfriend for like longer than a couple months.
Do you know what? I remember when we were writing this.
What?
Shameless, Fiona and Jimmy.
I think about a lot of things when I think about the song. I think about like, you know, my exes, I think about our parents, I think about certain shows and stuff like that. Yeah. I think it's kind of just like about heartbreak within, you know, somewhat
not working.
Abusive like relationship, and kind of realizing, having that like self-introspection, like this isn't right, yet I want to hold on to it.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's something that
being better off, feeling like pathetic in like your own relationship but not wanting to let go of it. It's
right.
Like a song.
Well, I'm sure you can relate to this, but there's sometimes where I'll write something, I'm like, man, I'm so dramatic with this.
Yeah.
This relationship with love, or the concept of love, or heartbreak. It's like, I like go into this place where I'm like, God, I'm so dramatic. Do you ever find that like, whatever that is, that's like what makes it great though? It's got power. Do you look at that and you're like, oh my God, this is crazy and dramatic. Or do you look at it like this has power and like nuance because of that level of emotion?
I think it's powerful. It's what makes songs relatable to so many people, and so many people going through like hurtful and abusive relationships, or just relationships and love in general, which are a lot.
As someone that uses like my experiences to kind of like push my art forward and draw inspiration from, you know, a lot of the time, like looking at it in retrospect, it's like I could be writing about someone that I barely know, or someone that I've like, you know, like barely even have a relationship with, but they can trigger something in me that makes me tap into this very like human, very earnest, like deep feeling place. And it's not always about like, oh, I'm so dramatic, I was like in love with this person that I knew for like 3 weeks and stuff like that. But it's like tapping into something very human.
Yeah.
It kind of allows for that. And that's how I like to think of it. Yes, I am a dramatic bitch, but.
No, that's not what I meant. But I mean, like, you know, like, I think artists, we're just all dramatic. With, like,
it's when like we, a good representation of the human experience, I think. Yes.
Well, and, but in the good thing about it is, you know, the coolest part about being an artist, I think, is you realize that you're on this emotional scope that vibrates a little bit deeper and higher than most people that are able to kind of like be that open because they're closed off from that level of emotion. Yeah. So it's like, so you're in this frequency that most people aren't able to kind of relate to, and that you kind of teach people to open up and be open to that. So it's like, I feel like all artists are teachers on some level because, you know, like we are dramatic and we are overly dramatic, but because we're so open and when somebody hurts us or when we feel love and on a good level or a vibe, we're so overwhelmed with the emotion or the feeling and the energy that we put it out. Tell me what about the process of you recording and recreating that emotion months or years later after you wrote this song.
Yeah. So we knew that we wanted it to be simple because there's, you know, like plenty of people say this, but if a song is good, you know, just with one instrument, whether it's like acoustic or then it's a good song. And I don't know. I feel like this song just didn't need much. And because it was sad, we wanted it to maybe have, like, a piano bass. A lot of our songs have are, like, guitar-oriented. So this one, I was like, we really want piano. And then the vocal stacking, I just went ham. Very picky.
Yeah. I think I was really picky through this whole song because I was, like, I was very much feeling the lyrics. I was like, this needs to be, like, my exact vision. I want this to be, like, a fuck you to my ex-boyfriend.
Here.
Yeah, and so I was very, very picky. And then I think we previously, I did my backgrounds on, like, your computer or something, like, on, like, a little, like, Logic track that we had. And then I brought it to the studio, and I was just like, I'm doing this exact thing. And then I was kind of just being like, okay, give me another track. And I did all of the backgrounds.
I love that you did pre-production before you went into the studio. That's
I like to do that sometimes, just so I don't forget. Usually I'll do just, like, one of each harmony that I want to do, and then for the studio I'll, like, double it and kind of make it a little more, you know.
Yeah, it's a good draft for, like, figuring out harmonies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so, Samantha, you were on lead, and Leah, you were doing harmonies on it? Or was it kind of, like, mixed? Yeah, because I remember there was a one-verse.
Pre-chorus, and then we're also switching off singing during the chorus, because she's saying, are you done? I'm saying, I'm in love. She's saying, giving up. And I say, better off.
Which is very hard to tell.
No, you know, it's interesting, because your voices are very different. But there is a quality, and this is how you know your sisters. There's a quality where it's like, oh, this sounds like they're connected. Like, you just have a unique sound in each of your voices individually that it sounds like you're in a band. Like the cool thing about you being in a band together and your family, it sounds so tight already, just like naturally. And bands usually have to work like 20, 30 years or 10 years to get that like innateness to the music, you know, to like just making it one complete vision. So was there any power struggle as to like where you wanted parts or sounds, or like where it was too much and you had to kind of scale it back, or did you
the last part
yeah, we were trying to figure out a way to end it because we wanted it to be climactic, and I think our producer suggested that we put some ad libs like in the last chorus, and
It started off with a lot, and I
started
think
off with a lot. We cut down on that. I think there are real drums in that. I think that our dad is on the drums.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah, so he was playing drums on that, and then there's piano backgrounds.
So you weren't in the studio like, geez, Dad, you really gonna play that?
It's so funny. We've had so many arguments over the years because my dad loves like live instrumentation, and so as do I. But
we were like very young
as young people trying to like reach a younger audience and more of like the contemporary world of music. We're like, doesn't always have to be like live instruments, like we can do
this from the computer.
But yeah, no, it sounds really good to me. I still listen to it now and I'm like, oh, I'm really happy with that. So
I was talking to a friend of mine who plays with Pharrell Williams. And he was talking about, we were talking about working on, you know, song production and Logic. And he said Happy is all Logic instruments. And I was like, what? And he said, yeah, man, everything's in Logic, no real instruments. I'm like, you're joking. There's not one real instrument. He's like, no real instruments. Everything was in Logic. So it's like, there is a sound and a trend for some of that. What I do love about you adding real instrumentation, especially bringing in more family to the sound, it still has this vibe of being organic in both contexts. Like you have it with real instruments, but you're blending it with not real instruments. So it kind of has this kind of like ethereal vibe that's very pop oriented, but also a little bit throwback. So I loved it just for that. I was like, man, there's textures, there's layers. The very fact that you're thinking like that just means you guys are badass. What are we playing next? Let's play something else.
Let's do My Drug. That's a little bit of a different.
My Drug?
Yeah.
My Drug.
All right. Here's My Drug by the Frank Sisters.
My stomach's knotted up. Deja vu. I waited for you to call until two. I like the weight of it, saving you. Tell all your people I feel the good shoes. My drug is him saying I'm the one. I feel the heat underneath the raging sun. And oh God only knows what I've become. I'm faking the rest to everyone. They tell me to move or be real still. If I don't have a reaction yet, I will. So don't go loving a stranger for a thrill. Phone is dry tonight, empty room. I stay up late and I know you do too. I'm not myself again, nothing new. I'm staring dead into space like I do. My drug is him saying I'm the one. I feel the heat underneath the raging sun. And oh God only knows what I've become. I'm faking the rest to everyone. They tell me to move or be real still. If I don't have a reaction yet, I will. So don't go loving a stranger for a thrill. If I don't have a reaction,
Slamming, ladies, slamming. So groovy. Tell me about the inspiration behind the writing and also the recording process.
So when I wrote this song, I did write the majority. I brought the song to you after I'd written like the chorus and stuff like that.
Yeah, the chorus.
Anyway. I just really liked the phrasing and like the vibe of the song, and I wanted to have a song that was a little bit more like
angsty,
like something that we could do something cool with production wise. So that was the main thing. There was no like very deep meaning behind the song besides like it's kind of about like
using
being addicted, your addiction. Being addicted to love and stuff like that, which is something I've been wanting to like touch on for a while, but yeah, I just wanted the song to be easy listening and like interesting. So
it makes you rock. It makes you move a little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah.
And it's got fire. It's spicy because it's like it's got like these harmonies that come in and out and the lyrics, and it's got a groove, and it's like it just it's married well with all of that. You have all the right elements in it. Yeah. A lot of your writing and production and recordings kind of share that, which is really cool. And like what I really love, which you know I couldn't always tell you in class, but like you're already thinking about lush arrangements. I love lush arrangements. Yeah. I live for those. It's like you can listen to the song 1,000 times and find something about the song that's different or that you fall more in love with because it's got lush arrangements. So tell me what inspired these lush arrangements, because most people your age now are not doing that. You know, this is what's going to make you set. It's going to set you apart.
It took so long. I remember we were in the studio and our producer was just going down all the things on Final trying to find the proper bass.
Yeah.
It took so long. He was just like playing with different things and then he was like doing all the different arrangements. And we were like, no.
Yeah, I wanted a strong, like low bass. I knew how I wanted the like that kind of synthy guitar sound. I knew that I wanted that particular sound. I had a song to show him because I really liked the way that, I don't know.
Oh,
that, yeah. And then the beat, most of it is all programmed except that little like guitar riff.
Right.
A little bit more like funkiness into it. So that was cool.
We fought on the drums for a second.
The drums, because we were debating on whether or not to, I don't think we ever had live drums in there, but we were just going to add more.
Yeah.
And then we didn't. Excited to keep it as
but it's cool. The tempo is just like grooving and it's just moving like a steam train, and it's just got like cadence, it's got fire, it's got harmonies, it's got this kind of like cool pop sensibility. Like yeah. I love about your songs, and I can tell you this because I'm featuring you on the show, everything like that I look for in music you guys have in your songs. There's pop sensibility, there's nuance as far as like what you're doing as artists, because what you're also doing is you're setting yourselves apart from what is happening in the mainstream, but you're also doing it to be alongside in the mainstream. So it's like different enough in personality and writing and style, but also it belongs in the pop, you know, spectrum. So it's got all those pop sensibilities that I love, but then it's got backbeat, it's got groove, and it's got these like really R&B lush harmonies that most people don't do now. And I love that. So that makes me think that your parents raised you to listen to good, old, funky, beautiful, lush arrangements, because you have them in your song.
R&B music is also the biggest influence that I have with the harmonies.
For sure.
I want them.
As an artist, I feel like I'm always grappling with, you know, like the songwriting aspect of things, in which case I'm just writing whatever I feel and writing, you know, to make, you know, the best song as a songwriter. And then there's this other side that is very production oriented, where I just want to make music that I like to listen to.
Yep.
So that was one of those songs where I was like, I really want to make something that I would listen to. And I think this was that, because I love R&B, I love funk, I love like hearing drums and bass, and like that is the thing that stands out the most to me. So I really like to incorporate that into
I love it. I love it. Malia, you said R&B is a big influence on you. What specific or what kind of generation or decade of R&B do you love the most?
One of my favorite songs is Brown Sugar by D'Angelo. Nice. So, like, we grew up on some old school R&B, but like I love like old, like, neo-soul and old rap that has all, like, the gospel voices that come in on the chorus. It's, like, my favorite part of those songs, and I think I draw a lot from that. I love all my harmonies to sound, like, really, like, a room full of people are singing, like, bringing me. And then I also like them to sound really dissonant, and I like to kind of, like, play between, like, being super, like, ethereal and then kind of having that, like, really, like, hard-hitting, like, synchronous, kind of weaving in and out of when she's talking. So I like to kind of, like, play around and make things sound interesting to, like, listeners. So.
What's really cool is, like, I'm a huge D'Angelo fan, too. I love Voodoo. I love Brown Sugar. And my writing partner and I, for the songwriting team, we were in a coffee shop down the street. And Pino Palladino, who plays with Mayer and The Who and Nine Inch Nails as well, he was getting a coffee, and I was like, my heart stopped, because I'm like, all those bass lines are him on the record. And like, I was like, man, I love you. I think you're one of my favorite basses. And like, I was like, we need to exchange info. And he was like, yeah, man, put down my, and we had mutual friends, and my hands were shaking. My writing partner's like, yo, dude, you know, he's just a bass player. I'm like, no.
He's not
a bass player, because all those D'Angelo songs would never be what they are without those arrangements, without that bass line, just like driving it home with all those harmonies and making it. So I love that you're pulling from D'Angelo. That's amazing, because I have a CD for both of you that I have to get you. It's a live D'Angelo record in Switzerland, that it's like a bootleg recording of Questlove and D'Angelo and Pino Palladino, and they're all playing Brown Sugar and Voodoo live in Switzerland. And it's, I'll have to get that to you. I will email it to you or whatever. But
that would be amazing.
You'll love it. You'll love it. So I love that you listen to all that old stuff, and I love that you're listening to new stuff. Tell me what new artists you are drawing from and inspired from and by.
Let's see. Hozier is a big one for us. I really like his production, and just like, I feel like he stands out to me in a lot of ways. His writing is very like profound, and his production really kind of holds the same weight as his writing, which I'm always looking for. Just the production and the writing match. Lizzie McAlpine is a big one. I think she's an incredibly gifted songwriter.
I don't know her. You're gonna have to send me a link. I don't know her. That's crazy.
Oh, you gotta check her out.
To listen to her.
Yeah,
she's a huge
influence. You would love her.
Sarah Bareilles,
she's not that's considered super new. And then like, you know, R&B people like Brent Faiyaz, her.
I don't know her. I know her. She's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
She's so legit. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm just like, right now I'm this is the wrong question to ask, because I've been in this like 80s like.
That's good. No, I mean, I'm always curious, because it's like, I always listen to old music, 70s, 80s, 90s, early 2000s. So it's like hearing what people are listening to now. I love hearing new influences. You already mentioned two.
Yeah, Aaron Wolf is a good one right now. She has a lot of like kind of like funk, neo soul influence. But
who was that? Who did you say?
Remy Wolf.
I don't know Remy Wolf. That's three. That's crazy.
I want to make you a playlist, Nikhil.
Yeah, please. No, I'm always looking. You know this. I'm always listening, and I'm always looking for new sounds. And I just love when you find somebody, you're like, oh my God, this is so good. Like, I love Daniel Caesar. I think he's such a
Oh, yeah. Frank Ocean.
Jacob Collier.
Yep.
Love his backgrounds.
Yep. He's a badass. You know, I met him at the Grammys real briefly, and I didn't know he was who he was. Like, I mean, I was like, oh yeah, nice to meet you.
Cool. He's like a regular old kid.
he still looks like that.
Yeah.
And one of my musician friends was like, yo, you know who that is? That's Jacob Collier. I was like, cool. I don't know who he is, but I'll go check him out. And then I listened to his music. I was like, God damn, this kid's crazy. This is good. So I love that you're listening to him and drawing from his music. Let's play something else. What are we playing next?
Last one is Save Your Words.
Save Your Words. I like it. Here's Save Your Words by the Frank Sisters.
Save all your words for tomorrow. I think this can wait. Ran out of time that you borrowed just yesterday. Last night you left feeling more than content, while I pulled out my hair in my room for 45 seconds till I'm breaking promises. What you expect me to do? I played my cards wrong, words slipped off of my tongue that were not what I thought they would be. And now I'll wake up hating all of my guts, cause you'll only be thinking of me. Save all your words for tomorrow. I think this can wait. Ran out of time that you borrowed just yesterday. Choice just to quiet the noise. I've let fear hold me hostage too long. And you'll call me scared, but I'm damn well aware that the same thing will always be wrong. So don't call me at night when you're drunk or too high, asking why did it all fall apart. Cause I deleted your number, memorized it twice, so don't you know we were doomed from the start? Save all your words for tomorrow. I think this can wait. Ran out of time that you borrowed just yesterday.
So good.
Thank you.
I'm gonna tell you something, because like not many people know this, that I love 6/8. Like I love 6. It is one of my favorite time signatures to write in. I will always write in it. It just always feels good. Yeah. And I love when 6/8 can feel like 4 and vice versa. Yeah. Nobody writes in 6 in your generation. It's one of my favorite songs I've heard you guys do because it's 6. I love it. Tell me the inspiration behind it. And thank God you did something in 6, because, man, nobody in your generation writes in 6 anymore. It just drives me nuts. It's like so good. How can you not write in a waltz-like vibe without like adding these cool elements to make it sound hip and today? Because it's the shit. It is the shit. So tell me about the inspiration behind this.
Yeah, so this song started with usually – when I know a song is going to be good, it usually has to start with like a good chord progression. So something, I was playing something on the guitar and I really liked the progression and I was like, okay, this is cool. Let's make a song to it.
Yeah. And I remember sitting in like the living room and we like started from scratch. And like, this is one of the few times we really like talked about a theme. We were like, this is what we kind of like want to go with. And it was just like just chord progressions. And we like sat down and like really wrote, and we did it in like the whole, like just like that one day, I think.
From a very writer perspective, like we were like, this is what it's about. Let's add some imagery. Let's add some this and that. So it was cool. And I feel like usually as a writer, I'm coming from a place of like being like the earnest, heartbroken one. And I feel like fewer of our songs are about like being on the opposite end of that, like not wanting
the
relationship.
A soft heartbreaker song.
Yeah, it was like it's about just not feeling like something is not right, not having the right feelings for someone, and not knowing how to like express that.
It's awesome. I mean, I just, I'll tell you, from the very start of the song, you had me. It was just like the groove, the vibe, everything. I was like, man, this is in sticks. I'm already in. And it just had like a hypnotic vibe to the vocal and the melody and the harmonies and the lyrics. And it was just, your songs are very hypnotic. I'm sure you already know that if nobody's ever told you. Let me tell you again, because it'll happen again and again. But, you know, it's one of the things that I look for in songs. You know, it's like, there's so many songs I listen to where it's like, I need to listen to that once and that's it. Your songs are not like that. I listen to them and I'm like, I can just sit and just chill and think about life or think about old wounds or think about, you know, things that are ahead of me that I'm not even ready for, whatever it is. And that's when you're in that, like, time capsule of music that, you know, you're making something, you're documenting an emotion, and you're putting everybody in that place that captivates all the past, present, and the future combined in one. So, like, I know that doesn't make a lot of sense now, but the one thing I always hope you do, I hope you always both and individually make records, make songs, because I'm going to tell you from experience, 20 years of making records, I've realized that making records is the best time capsule that you can ever leave the world with. Because you're going to hear yourself now, and then 5 years later and 10 years later, and you're going to have different stories that you're telling, and your voice is going to sound a little bit different year to year. And you're going to look back and like hear all of this and look back at it so much more like with eagerness than sometimes you're as close to it now, because now it's like you may be thinking, oh, we could have done this or we could have done this, or it's good, but you know, maybe it's this. But as you get distant from it, you just fall more and more in love with what it was in the moment and how it is. So I hope you never stop making records, and you're on the way to superstardom. I already know it already. I hope you never forget me, and you always are willing to come back and do shows with me and be on this radio show, because I saw you first before the world did. But really, I mean, it's exciting. You have a long road ahead of you, and tell me what you are bracing yourselves for the future, and also not looking forward to on this journey, and also what are the things that you're most excited about?
Bracing ourselves for, I guess, you know, when I think about upcoming artists, especially in the world of social media, you know, there's a lot, the exposure can happen really fast. And then, you know, as well as like the negativity and like all of that, which like you have to be ready for. And of course it's worth it in the end. But I think with, as sisters and as like being, you know, just like having our own weird dynamics sometimes, like there can, you know, there's it's obviously going to be hard. Like, working with family in general is hard. So, like, there's, like, you know, rough parts. But, like, at the end of the day, there's, like, no one else I would want to do it
and
with.
And being compared with sisters and then being compared in, like, like spotlight as sisters. And
yeah, is gonna be rough. But I am excited for, because I think that there is something grabbing about siblings and also just, I don't know, the type of chemistry we have in general. Like, not all siblings have this. And I think that it's, I feel so strongly about you and like where we came from, like pride about that. Yeah, and I hold a lot of pride like in regards to you and stuff like that. So it's, I wouldn't want to share anything else to the world. Yeah. I feel like it comes from a very authentic place.
And I also wouldn't want to share what we do with anyone else in the world. Like
See, look at all this love. This is great. Look at all this love. So, you know, I want to tell you, I'm going to give you a little tidbit of wisdom. Okay. It's you both against the world, okay? And the world will sometimes embrace you and sometimes won't. And sometimes the world will turn against you, and it's going to make your bond stronger. And then you're going to rise from those moments and prove to the world that of why you're destined to be there. And those are the moments that you're going to find the most triumphant and beautiful, that you stuck through the hardest times together. So I'm giving you this tidbit of wisdom. Always allow music and art and creative world and all the forces around you to bring you together, never to make you drift apart. Because the industry will try to pull you apart. The fans and like the world, the way they are, it's an ugly place out there. I know you know this already. They'll try to separate you, but your bond being as strong as it is will only overcome what is going to be ahead of you. And those are going to be some of the greatest moments that you're going to teach the world. So just remember that. You always have me in your corner, but you have to always be there for each other like you are. Yeah, see it with a handshake. Yeah, there you go. I like it. That's what I'm talking about. No, you guys are destined for greatness. And I just want to, you know, keep seeing you on this show and many others. And yes. I wish you nothing but the best. Thanks for being guests on Wake Up Hollywood.
Thank you for having us. And thank you for all the opportunities you've given us. And
yes, being we really appreciate
a teacher
it.
And a mentor. We and really appreciate you.
It. Much love to you guys. I think the world of you. Malia, I'm going to have you on as Songwriters in the Round separately. I'm going to have you both together on a round too. And yeah, thanks for being guests. I was so happy to be like, I need you guys to send me a bio because you know that was one of your homework assignments. It was like, this is why you do the bio in class.
We literally used it.
We literally used the word.
That's right. Well, thanks for being guests. You guys are the best. And I wish you nothing but the best. And we're going to have you back in about 9 or 10 months to see what new songs you're going to share. So remember the songs you played on this show, okay?
Cool.
Much love to you and your family. Have a good night. On behalf of Sam, myself, Samantha, and Malia, we'll see you guys next week. Peace and love.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Corulla and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.